Welcome. I'm Halcyon, and this is Hug Nation. Today I want to talk about service and a different way of looking at service. This was the weekend that I did First Saturdays. You can tell because it's the first Saturday of the month. People always ask, like, oh, hey, yeah, I want to join you sometime. When's your next one? When are you doing it next? And I'm like, when's our next First Saturday? Yes. When is the next First Saturday that we're going to do? Yes. Well, what's the next? It's First Saturday. The next First Saturday. That's when we do it. Well, this was the 100th First Saturday. This last weekend, we had our 100th outing. 100 times at the first Saturday of the month, we went downtown San Diego, and distributed clothing and food and smiles and love to the needy of San Diego. And over those 100 Saturdays, we've had groups that have been inspired by us that have started up in San Francisco, in Antelope Valley, in Colorado, in a small town in Canada. It's been a beautiful experience. Now, for those of you who are not math wizards or do not have an abacus handy, 100 Saturdays is just over 8 years. 8 years. Now, I don't normally think of myself as someone who is, committed and someone who, sticks to a plan and, but look at that. 8 years that I've been doing that. Yes, I miss it occasionally. Generally, I miss it once a year during the Burning Man Festival. I just said festival. It's not a festival. Please don't quote me on that. The Burning Man Temporary City Experiment, the Black Rock City. You know what? Let's just pretend I didn't say anything. I miss it occasionally because life happens. But luckily I have two co-founders, Merrick and Jason. We all went to high school together. And we have been doing this as a way to kind of exercise this part of ourselves that as we have gotten older and realized that life is about this. Life is about service. When you're young, the world, society, culture tries to tell you that it's about getting stuff. It's about acquiring. It's about creating this false sense of security through status and acquisitions. And then you realize that that security is false. It is a myth. And that it doesn't feed you. It's this hungry ghost that if you're just clawing for more, more and more and more, all you do is feed the machine. You feed the economy and the marketing machine that is required for this economic growth for our system. But it does not create personal growth. It does not create spiritual growth. It does not heal the ails of the world. On the contrary, it actually amplifies them. And marketing, by its very nature, pokes us at our wounds and makes them sting more so that we then are sold things to fix those wounds. Or not really fix them, because then you wouldn't be a customer anymore. Temporarily ease those wounds with a snake oil of the month. And now it's new and improved. Oh, and now there is a version for women that comes in pink. Anywho, one of the things that has made for Saturdays so rewarding to me is that it was an opportunity to integrate Burning Man principles, specifically the gifting principle. And the things that I learned about gifting, about how there is a system of gifting. There is a receiver and there is a giver. And it is through that loop that magic happens. Transactional interactions have a sum zero, plus one, minus one. I give you something of equal or close to value. We're both satisfied. It's a little bit more valuable. But a gifting experience is, I lift you up. I see you happy. You're plus one. Seeing you happy makes me happy, plus one. And an additional part of that is the spiritual aspect of knowing that I am one who is a helper, is a giver, is a lifter up. And then that has a pricelessness to it. And so we're very clear when we gather downtown. First we organize the clothes and then we get together and I talk about why we're doing it and how we're doing it and how it's an opportunity to interact. We're not coming out there as people who have figured out life that are trying to like teach or pity or help people who are doing less than or worse than. They just don't have as much stuff and we have a lot of stuff and it's an opportunity to make ourselves happier by making someone else happier. The world is very complicated, but kindness is simple. So what I'm not hardcore opinionated in anything because I just don't know. But one thing I do know, it's good to be kind. And when you have people that have needs that are so clear, and it's so easy to then alleviate one of those needs, it's the easiest way to be kind. And in doing so, you define yourself as a helper and you alleviate someone else's burden and make yourself happier. It's a very selfish thing. But I'm using selfish in an interesting way. I talk about selfish service a lot. And it's actually kind of what I mean by that. It's selfish service when you are thinking about the collective oneness. You can't be selfish from a state of we are all one. A selfish act is helping someone else because it's helping yourself. And so it is from that place of connection that we try to act. That's how, and if you can get into that state of connection and you feel it, yes, you feel someone's burden and you also feel their joy. And so you can help these people, help yourself from this state of oneness, from the state of alleviating the burden, of increasing the joy. And it makes it so rewarding because if you get trapped into the helper-helpee dynamic and you're responsible for someone else, there's this burden to it. There's this responsibility to it that ignores the dynamic of the connection. And when you can feel the connection, then you have a relief of some of that burden, and yet you still feel connected enough to act. So you're not acting from a place of guilt or burden or alleviating pain. You're acting from a place of increasing joy in a selfish way because you want to be more joyful, and we are all one. I listened to a Ram Dass lecture this week. In fact, I've been on a total Ram Dass kick lately. I didn't realize how awesome he was. I listened to one lecture of him many years ago, and it was super deep and a little too hardcore about lack of ego for me to really like. I'm like, I'm not ready for this. But lately I've been listening to a lot of his stuff, and he's great. Love him. There's a great interview with him and Terrence McKenna online on YouTube. You should definitely listen to that. But the one I was listening to today, or this week, he was talking about service. And he was saying that he was talking about this idea of getting out of the helper-helpy dynamic. And he said something, I don't remember how he said it, but when I heard it, I was like, oh my gosh, he said that if I take these beads and I put it from my left hand to my right, the left hand isn't helping the right hand. I was like, yeah, I love this idea. So it's like, I started thinking like, it's like if you put lotion in your left hand and then your right hand is dry, you're not helping your right hand by distributing the lotion. It's a system. It's one. Your hand and your mouth aren't helping your stomach by feeding you a sandwich. It's a oneness. And when you can feel that connection and that oneness in the world, you act from a place of service in the same flow, the same ease as putting lotion on both of your hands or bringing a sandwich to your mouth to bite into, to swallow. Every part of the system is aided by aiding every part of the system. It doesn't become a helper and a helpee. It becomes an integrated oneness where as resources are available, they are used to elevate. All of us being cells in a system, all of us having talents and resources, whether it's energy, monetary, all of us using those things to make sure that we are in a place of health and abundance so that we may distribute the health and abundance to the system and elevate. And I think that's why I've been doing this for 8 years, is because that dynamic of a system, of a oneness, allows every act to be a positive one and an energizing one and an uplifting one. And so after 8 years, I see some of the same people every month. Have I helped them off the street? Have I solved their problem? No. Because that's not the intention. it's simply an act of kindness. It's simply seeing, oh, the left hand is dry. I've got extra lotion. This person is hungry. I've got extra food. This person could use some new clothes. I've got way too many clothes. And then there is no burden or is no suffering felt from this, like, oh gosh, these poor people, my poor dry hand. No, it simply is. And then you act from that place of seeking balance. And every time you have the ability, the opportunity to gift in that way, you elevate, you bring light, you make yourself selfishly, because you are the one, happier and more joyful. Oh, so simple. And yet I fall all the time into the trap of selfishness and false desires for security, this myth. That's why I'm so grateful that I have this monthly reminder of being part of this connection, being part of this oneness, being the oneness, and being a cell in the system that has the opportunity to distribute bone marrow or create white blood cells or receive light as a rod and cone or whatever the role of the moment is for me as a cell in this cosmic body. And thank you for the role that you play as a perfect cell in this cosmic body. Thank you for being the one with me. I love you. Happy Hug Nation. Let us have a hug. Wherever you are, grab yourself by the shoulders. Oh, I got a new microphone here, which I might be making too loud with my rustling of my hands, but I will let go of that and get present as I hug myself, as we all hug ourselves, as we become a symbolic representation of the one, as we feel the embrace of all the others. And as we squeeze, we are embracing all the others. We are a microcosm of the one. We are the one. And we're grateful for this body, grateful for this experience, this fractional consciousness, while knowing that we are part of the one consciousness. So let's take three breaths together as the one, in through the nose and out through the mouth. Ready? In. On behalf of Grandpa Caleb, all the volunteers over the last 100 outings with First Saturdays, all those that we have served, all the love warriors, happy Hug Nation. I love you. Yes, it is good to be here. I'm excited. It's been a week for me. I guess it's always a week, but it's been, I guess I should put an adjective in front of that. Maybe a tough week. Last week when I went live, I was recovering, just waking up the next day after my birthday, after the one-man show that was such a high. It was such an incredible experience. So good for my spirit, so good for my confidence, so good for my feeling of my dharma and my purpose. And then after the high, the low. And I totally struggled. I was in a bad mental place. And the positive is that after 47 years, I know that I'm in a negative mental space. I know that I cannot trust my thoughts. That was a huge shift for me. I used to be medicated for depression and anxiety. And a huge shift for me was when I was able to distinguish the difference between the world sucking and me sucking at everything, to recognizing that I'm having thoughts that the world sucks and I suck at everything. Now, I can't immediately change that. I can't change my thoughts instantly. But the awareness of that at least allows me to act softly, not make big decisions, not, you know, adjust my life, not commit to things, not quit things, to just recognize that, ooh, I need to go into survival mode because I can't trust my thoughts right now. One of the tricks that I use to notice it is if I hear myself, my inner dialogue, I start to use the word always and never. I never finish anything. I'm always alone on Friday night. Like, oh, that's the little dark guy talking. And I gotta go, all right, let's try to change these thoughts a little bit. Let's try to just be aware that this voice is not to be trusted. So I had this little dark guy, like he was gone as, you know, leading up to the performance. I was in just excited, like getting ready for prom night and losing my virginity. And then it was awesome. And then as soon as then the dark guy was like, you know what? You look at the archive. You didn't do as good as you thought you did. You know, you think there's no way you could bring this on tour. You worked your ass off and you only sold 70 tickets in your hometown. There's no way you could ever do this in another town. Dream on. And I'm like, oh man, you're making a lot of sense. You'll never do. Oh, he said never. Wait. You always think you can do it. You never will. Oh, ha ha! I cut you, bastard. So, this week was full of that dynamic and that argument with my dark companion. What does Dexter call his? Of course, Dexter's a serial killer, and his dark voice compels him to ritualistically slaughter people, and mine just makes me get emo. So, dark passenger, I think that's what he calls it. Yes. My dark passenger is more of just an emo kid than a psychopath. But, you know, when you're in it, it's hard to know the difference. So it's been nice this week as it's gradually lifted. And I spent a lot of time with friends this week. And I called a bunch of people and I had lunch and dinners with people and was leaned on the energies of people that I love and love me to distract me from my dark passenger. I shouldn't use that term. People are going to tune in the middle and be like, oh crap, Halcyon's got a real dark side. No, that's not that dark. I mean, everyone's darkness, everyone's baseline is black, black, black for them. I mean, not baseline, but you know, everyone, it's all relative. So I'm wishing that I didn't mention Dexter now. But I'm glad I got through this week. Looking forward to next week. I've got a bunch of things I'm excited about again. I've got a talented editor working on the video footage from the event, which I'm not planning on releasing. A bunch of people, I don't know if it's just like a polite thing to say, if people say, oh, I can't make it, but you're going to record it, right? It's like, yes, I'm going to record it, but I'm not going to share it. Like this was, it's like, and a lot of people are asking, are you going to put it on YouTube? It's like, oh, I couldn't make it to the play, or I couldn't make it out and pay for a movie ticket. So are you going to put it on YouTube? Like, well, no, I created this thing. This is a thing that I'm, a project that's to be viewed and to buy a ticket for. I'm not going to, like, just put it on YouTube. But maybe I will do a pay-per-view, or maybe I'll make it as a bonus for people who are, like, higher level supporters of me on Patreon. I don't know. But at least as I look at the footage, I'll be able to kind of hopefully remember how well it went, hear the laughter in the room, and be inspired to keep working on it and to perform it again. I'd like to do it at least at Burning Man. I got to try to find a venue for that. But maybe other places. I was close to doing it at a venue in LA. There was going to be something this Friday before another event, and then it didn't work out. And I said, well, maybe I can rent the whole room out a different night. And they go, oh, we're actually shutting down the next week. I'm like, oh, all right. value your creative content. Yes, that is, I am trying to shift into a space where I monetize my world in different ways. I've depended on a model of just following my heart and hoping that everything works out and feeling almost guilty to charge or ask for money for things. But I'm working through that. And I know that I happily and joyfully support professionals and artists in all sorts of ways. And it would be out of integrity to not value my gifts in the same way, and my efforts, and my talents. So maybe not talents, but if I talent plus effort equals achievement, which has value, which deserves appreciation in energetic ways, and monetary is one of the easiest ways that we can do that in our culture. But, you know, hand jobs, whatever, tokens, shiny beads and shells, appreciation. So, thank you so much for being here. I think I talked about it last week, but there was a very profound release that I went through after performing the live show, after kind of outing myself and coming out of the closet and kind of, it's like, you know, having a secret, and then when you can tell it, there's an energy required to hold onto a secret, to keep something down, and there is a liberation that can occur when with transparency. And that's something that I know so clearly, and I practice really, you know, significantly, probably more than most. In fact, I'd be interested to see who is more transparent than me in the world. However, this was an area that I once was transparent and then I wasn't. And so it was like a splinter inside in some ways. So I've been really, I've been noticing. And maybe that's part of this challenges that I had this last week, was in that that renewed rawness. As it's liberating, it's also, there is risk. It is such a honor and a privilege and a treat. Speaking of things, you know, I mentioned that I do, it's been 8+ years of First Saturdays, and it's been 16, 17 years of weekly Hug Nation broadcasts. It's crazy to me. As someone who has a very difficult time committing to do something a few days away, or, you know, I have a really hard time buying plane tickets. Like, oh, thank goodness Southwest lets you cancel, because I struggle to commit. Like, I don't know what I'm going to want to be doing in a week, in 2 days. And so to have this, now these habits, these trends, these practices in my life that are legit, 16 years, 8 years, those are like, it's not how I would describe myself. So it's kind of a cool reacquaintance with the kind of man I am. Yes, I am a man of my word. I'm a man that you know, if I'm gonna be here on Monday, I'm gonna do this unless I can't, or unless I've consciously made the decision of a reason why I'm either traveling or you know, committed to something that is important. But I'm not gonna make the decision that morning that I don't feel like it. That was a huge lesson. I think it was a Tony Robbins that I learned that from, the difference between, or learning to schedule your time based on your commitments, not how you feel, which was a big thing for me, because, you know, with, I talk about float more, steer less, and that can easily be interpreted as a do whatever you feel like doing. And while that can work in many ways, it has to be paired or weathered with commitment. Otherwise, you can just drift for long days, months, weeks without reaching the places that the flow actually wants you to get, because there's There's the grand current, and then there's little bitty whirlpool things that you can get caught into. Facebook is one of those little whirlpool things that you can just like, oh, wow, I'm just going with the flow, and I just spent a day, reading updates and watching YouTube videos and clips, and I'm well informed about what happened on Saturday Night Live, but I did not honor the pull of the deeper flow of expressing my talents, my creativity. So yeah, so it's a combination of commitment and flow. Like two, like partners. Like sober Halcyon and intoxicated Halcyon. You know, neither one is the perfect guy to do the job, but together they pull off a lot. The same is true with in the flow and commitment. It's fun to connect digitally with you. So thank you so much. And I love you. I love you. Really. We're all connected. Thanks for letting me be this cell in this perfect cosmic body. And thanks for being you. Have a beautiful day.